Yeah, I'm really bummed now.
It's really delicious, though.
Mm-hmm.
Inhale.
Yeah, the one thing about Wrigley's, though, it just never lasts long enough.
No.
Never does.
I was in the Glass Menagerie, and I had a monologue about Wrigley Spirit Gun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember
it? Is that the... Isn't that the Star Trek episode with... in the first season of Star Trek?
No.
That was a two-parter? That was a big two-parter where they have Captain Pike?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the Menagerie.
Yes.
I'm talking about the Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams.
With Tennessee. Yeah. Of course.
But Captain Pike, but there's glass.
Right. Exactly. Of course.
It's very similar. Yeah.
Of course. Anyway.
Right, the courtroom thing and everything. Yeah,
right.
Crazy.
Right.
Me.
All right, so... Here we go, shall we? Let's do this. Welcome, everyone, to another spectacular, stupendous edition of the Nerd Watch. We are here at the wonderful, the beautiful, the geek-tastic Maui Comics and Collectibles, located here on the lovely island of Maui. It is home base for the Nerd Watch and home base for all things comic book, all things retro gaming, all things. You could say, I don't even want to say figures, action figures here, everything. It's great stuff. Big shout out to Alika for hosting us again, and we'll talk about them. We'll talk about my comics and collectibles a little bit later on in the show. We've got Captain N playing in the background for those that recall, that remember it. But yeah, man, it's another week. We're back from the commentary and from the Mad Max and Pitch Perfect talk. I entitled last week's episode Pitch. Mad Max was Pitch Perfect. So, So, that was it was a fun episode. We had a very special guest, Gannon. I want to send a big shout-out to Gannon. Gannon is more than welcome to come on the show anytime he likes. We're going to be doing more of those commentaries. I really enjoyed myself. I had a lot of fun. And I want to send a big thank you once again to Gannon for coming out and Professor Barry providing all kinds of... interesting tidbits of trivia and information about the cast and crew. Certainly appreciated that. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. We need to do that again soon.
Yeah, we need to do that again real soon. Format, we missed you, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
we missed you.
I got really bad. I got really sick, and I actually lost my voice. In fact, my voice still hasn't quite gotten back to 100%, but it is back.
I can hear it.
And before, it was like I was going through puberty again.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
I'm sorry.
That's couldn't hit the high notes.
Wow.
It sucked.
Crazy. You're sick.
Good now. Yeah.
Not to throw Alika out into the public or anything, but Alika's got pink eye now and I can't.
Conjunctivitis?
We totally can't make out like we did before.
It's like gingivitis of the eyes.
I'm just kidding. I'm just messing.
And yet his store carries on.
But yet his store carries on because he's a trooper. He is doing his work in shades today at the comic book and collectible store. That's how
what a
cool
guy.
He is.
That's right.
So it's good stuff. By the way, there's a whole bunch of... I notice that every week we come, like there's a whole new lineup of comics that he puts up that I'm not aware that even existed. So I'm interested in this Convergence comic from, I believe it's DC, that looks really cool. I got to ask him about that.
Is it good, Alika?
It's good stuff.
Yeah, Alika, is it good?
That's what I hear.
All right, cool.
Okay.
It looks really good. The art is crazy. So I thought it looked really awesome. Those books look great.
Yeah,
but
actually, one of the artists is Peter Steigerwald. He's from Hawaii.
Is he really?
Yeah, on the Convergence
Sweet.
Series.
Oh, shout out. Aloha,
nice.
Brah.
Aloha. That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. But speaking of that, want to start the show before we get into all of the goodness. First off, I want to talk to you guys about what you guys have been doing for the week. You said you were sick. Did you watch any movies?
I did.
Any writing, or what'd you do?
I did some writing on the book that I'm still working on.
Right.
And will probably be working on forever. And I did watch some movies.
What'd you see?
A few classics and some that were, I felt weren't as classic, but a lot of people seem to think it's a classic. I saw The Big Lebowski.
Love The Big Lebowski.
Well, that's one of us.
Ugh.
I saw Snatch.
Love Snatch.
Yeah, I love
no
Snatch.
Pun intended at all.
What'd you think of the movie, though?
Love that movie.
Fist of Legend.
The one with Jet Li?
Yes.
Okay.
Really, really, really well done.
Oh, yeah.
And a documentary about comic strips called Stripped.
Didn't even know that existed.
It's really good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Interesting. So when you say strip, I'm assuming you're talking about the ones that we see in the paper every Sunday?
Correct.
Okay, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I only know of a few. I mean, I know Beetle Bailey. I know, I know of course, some Family Circle. And then... Family Circus.
Right.
Yeah, things of that nature. Garfield and things like that. So they talk about that,
Those same guys, they interview a lot of the creators, a lot of the... the people that are continuing the comic after the original creator passed on.
Sweet.
And just getting their whole take on the industry, how it is now, how it was to break into the industry, now that, you know, printed media is in a decline.
Right, right.
It's practically dead for the most part.
Right, right.
How they're, you know, dealing and coping.
It seems like, though, the only, like you say, print media has become such a, I don't know how to put it. It's almost become this issue where people no longer want to read a newspaper or to open a magazine. They want to open up their, they want to open up an app on their iPad. But I have noticed that one of the more, and not because we're sitting in this comic book store, but I have noticed and seen statistically speaking that there are more people interested in opening a comic than they are opening a book.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's interesting considering the fact that print is not where it was 15 years ago.
Right.
So that's quite amazing. I'm assuming the resurgence is because of the movies and people wanting to, you know, feel what it's like to have a book in your hand, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a big deal. Definitely. That's a big deal. So once again, you know, comics come back to get everybody to resurrect reading, you know. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot. So you've been doing that.
Yeah.
So Big Lebowski, weren't a fan.
No.
Why not? Tell us.
Please, tell us. I want to know.
I think, well, I talked to a few friends of mine, and they kind of put it in a different light for me.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as just a person who just saw it for the first time, I didn't get it. Mm. It didn't go anywhere. I wanted there to be some closure, and it just ended. It's not that it didn't get there. It didn't even start going there. It just, duh. And that was the entire movie, including the opening narration.
Oh, by
it
Mr.
started,
Sanelli,
and then, yeah. He lost his train of thought. I was like, what?
Can I give you three words?
Please don't tell me the dude abides, because every freaking person that I talk to says that. And that doesn't clarify anything. It doesn't make anything better. It just means that's all you got from the movie.
No.
You're worse off than I am.
I have to say that I am in total disagreement. I think that is...
Okay, explain to me why.
Okay, let me tell you why. Because there's a lot of... And correct me if I'm wrong, Professor Berry, but in The Big Lebowski, there's a lot of existentialism.
Okay.
Where one of my favorite scenes in the movie, because you are right, there's a lot of stuff that is disjointed. But once you start listening to the dialogue, especially when John Goodman and Jeff Bridges are together and they're talking about what seems like nothing, and then Steve Buscemi's character, what is his
name?
Donnie. Shut up, Donnie. There's just something when they're talking about him in Vietnam and things of that. There's just something about those conversations that even though they may be pointless, there's something interesting about how committed they are to the words that they've been given on the page. And I agree with you that some of it just doesn't make any sense. Like the stuff with Julianne Moore, I was like, what the heck is going on? I agree. But overall, I really liked it, and I really liked the momentum it was going to. I will say that the way it ends, I will give you that, hey.
There's no bowling championship?
Nope.
Does he pay his rent? I don't know. Did he go to see the band? I don't know.
Well, they say that this is probably one of the most, or this is probably up there as one of the most existential stoner comedies ever.
Sure.
Yeah. So is that the trick? You need to be stoned to watch this?
I think that is part of the trick with that film. But I can watch it without being stoned, and I enjoy The Big Lebowski. I don't.
No. Don't misunderstand. Like I didn't like not like it. Like I enjoyed it.
Right.
I wanted to see it. You know, like I wanted to see how everything wrapped up. How. All this crazy cast of characters end up.
All he wants,
and then it doesn't.
Dude, you know what? All the dude wants. He wants to just abide. All he wants to do is he wants his rug back that pulled the room together. That's all he wants. That's his quest. That's his mission. And only listen.
But even that explanation took 15 minutes, where it could have been like, I just want my rug. And then they just went on and on and on and on and on. Shut up, Donnie!
Shut up, Donnie!
Just kept going on and on. And I was like, what?
Market zero!
And I was like, you know, I enjoyed it. There's a lot of quotables.
Oh,
I understand
gosh.
The movie, I guess, as a whole.
Yeah.
But I'm just lost. A friend of mine told me that I need to see it more than once.
You do.
To get the gist of it.
You
so
do. I agree with
as
that.
As a first-time watcher, I say, screw this movie. But I will watch it again at a future date.
I was you after watching it for the first time.
That's good.
So if I'm honest with you, I was like you just the first time I saw it. After watching it, I've seen it, what, four times now? It just keeps getting better and better. I don't know why.
That's what I keep hearing.
Oh, it's so
and I hear
good.
Something,
so
I don't know. The number of people that, like, the outpouring of support there was for this movie when I announced to the world that I had seen the movie was just, like, crazy. And everybody was like, dude. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I know. And they're like, dude. And I'm like, yeah, I get it.
I get it.
Like,
it's a cult classic.
So what? Right, I understand that. Classic. But you don't see me quoting, you know, Clue. I don't. You know?
Well, you could.
Well, yeah,
could
I could.
Why don't you?
Well, yeah, you
because
could.
The dude abides for some reason. I don't know.
He does.
For some reason, it's a thing.
Yes, it is a
okay.
thing.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
All right.
It's just everybody. Like, what did you like about the movie? What did you think? Yeah. Well, the dude abides. I'm like, well, screw you. I don't need.
So, Professor Barry, you are our movie veteran. You are our movie professor. Why don't you shed a little light on your feelings and what the frustration that format feels about The Big Lebowski?
It was frustrating for me too. The first time I saw it. This was the first movie they did after Fargo, which had was up for Best Picture. Fargo was a phenomenal movie.
Yep.
And they followed up with this crime thriller. This hard-boiled film noir crime thriller where the main character is this stoner loser who literally accidentally, he doesn't even drift. He's just accidentally getting into one bizarre scenario after another.
Right.
There is no.
And it ironically mirrors, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it ironically mirrors Fargo in a sense that it's almost the same caper except in a different light.
Right. And you have it's one of these things where it's all about character. The story almost it kind of fades in and out of focus. Because you're right, because you have the main thrill, you have the business with the toe, you have the business with Jesus and this big, bowling tournament.
I really wanted to see the
whole
bowling
movie
thing.
Feels like it's built in John DeTuro.
And now that I think about it, the dude has never bowled during the movie.
No,
and I was like, wow.
Right.
This dude must be amazing, but he never bowls during the. I was like, oh.
Yeah. It's very episodic, and it purposely doesn't go anywhere because
correct.
That is the life of the dude. There is no direction. He is like a tumbleweed.
Yes. That's a very good analogy because I didn't want to be unfair to the character and say that he's aimless, but I guess he is.
Oh, absolutely. That's an excellent way to put it.
So I guess he is aimless.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the movie. That's what they set out to get. So and then when you watch it again, you'll pick up on the little things that make it so comical and so interesting because those conversations become extremely, just once you listen to the dialogue, those conversations that John Goodman has are so good. I'm telling you right now, they don't make sense.
All I know is
time.
That I really like White Russians now. I don't know why.
You don't know why?
I just... White Russians with half and half.
Right.
Well, Goodman's amazing. I mean, he's playing John Milius, the director. He's playing a caricature of that guy who wrote and directed Conan the Barbarian and Red Dawn. Apparently, this guy really does walk around like that. He's got guns at the wazoo. He's ready to go all the time.
Right. He's one of the rare guys in Hollywood that is a...
extreme right.
He's extreme. He's extreme right. Right. He's extremely conservative, but also he's socially liberal, as they call them. But yeah, he's one of the rare in Hollywood that actually get through and make movies.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is, and it's very funny that he mirrors John Milius. It's very cool. So yes, I think you should watch it again. I know.
No, I will.
Good. I know.
I will. Like I said, it's not that I didn't like the movie. I enjoyed the movie. That was it. I could have sat through episodes of Teletubbies and gotten more out of that.
Can I say this? There, you are going to... This frustration is the same that I felt, and you are going to put yourself back thinking about that movie. That's what happened to me, and that's why I turned it on again just a scant 3 months later.
Well, it was because of that movie that I had to... like scrub my mind with Fist of Legend
right.
and Snatch,
right?
Just to get me back to center, right. Because
I was just gone. Well, let's move on to Snatch really quick. Snatch is probably my favorite Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would say that it's.
I would agree.
I love Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that.
It's still my favorite.
But Snatch is my favorite. Guy Ritchie movie. Yep. I just love everybody in that movie. It makes it. I don't know how to explain it. Whenever it's on, I have to watch it. It's one of those movies.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree.
Love that movie. Ugh. Anyway, and of course, one of my favorite actors who's passed on is in that movie, Dennis Farina, and he's great. He is great in that movie. So, I'm glad you were able to scrub your mind of Lebowski. But
you're not going to go to Lebowski Fest this summer?
Probably not.
Because you know John Goodman, Jeff Bridges, and Julianne Moore always show up.
They always do.
Yeah, because they got nothing better to do.
So, right. Three of the biggest actors in Hollywood have nothing better to do.
Yeah, they got nothing better to do.
Right. But you'll think about it, and the dude
I
will start...
I don't see them in the next Expendables.
The dude will start to abide in your mind. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I like Dags.
He liked Dags. That's good. Anyway, listen, Professor Barry, that's what Format did with his weekend. Apparently, he was angered by Big Lebowski. What about you? What did you do this weekend?
The play I directed actually opened and closed.
Oh, fantastic! The ten minute play with
somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes. Yeah, it's a one act festival at Seabury Hall, and I directed one of the many one acts.
And how was it?
I think it went really well.
What was the hostage negotiation?
It's called The Hostage, and in it, I play the hostage. I'm on stage, my hands are tied behind my back, I'm in a chair.
Oh, you're in it, too.
I didn't have any lines. I had a white shroud over my head.
Oh.
What do they call that? What is that? Not nepotism. What do they call that?
Cameo?
Egomaniacal.
Egomaniacal. The director's in the play,
right.
And he's the hostage.
I know, right? The
prize. You never see my face, so it's a very... is subtle the word?
So, having the director in the movie is not subtle.
I wasn't, but it was an uncredited cameo. Like, no one knew it was me.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So how did it go with the kids and everything?
It went really well. They really dug into it. It was a fun piece.
Awesome.
It's basically about these two guys. They kidnap this older man played by myself, and in the midst
because
of
he's
it,
older.
That's right. I'm much older than myself.
Awesome.
And in the midst of the negotiation, they learn that the people they stole him from hate the guy, so they're grateful that this guy has been abducted. So it becomes, they kind of have to switch it on the victims, where they call him and say, like, either you pay us $1 million or we're giving him back to you.
Oh my goodness.
So, that's
it's the Big Lebowski all over
again. It is. There you go. It's kind of the Big Lebowski.
You're Bunny.
I was Tara Reid.
So can I ask you this?
Huh.
Yeah.
What was the, that seems like fairly... not just challenging work, but it seems very almost too mature in that sense, especially for the 15, I guess, right? 15, 16?
There was a lot of really solid theater.
Really?
Yeah, like it really ranged from the kind of plays as well as the age groups you had,
right.
Some young and older actors, but No, I mean, the material was really solid. There was a John Patrick Shanley play. I mean, there's some really good stuff.
John Patrick Shanley play?
Yeah.
Wow.
How do you direct with a hood on your...
Well, I didn't. I mean, you know, I only got into it when I was done.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I'm working with them the whole time, and then you know, I'm practically.
You stand over here.
So there's a lot of.
That's exactly what I did.
Nice.
And you know, I'm basically a prop in my own play. So So I basically just watched them. It really wasn't until we got into the technical rehearsal where I actually sat on the stage and let them, you know, abuse me and all that.
I love how the actors have to act around the director.
I know.
Isn't that awesome? Awesome. Rivera, you are the man. You're the man.
Well done.
Yeah, well done, sir. Well, I'm glad that they enjoyed themselves.
They did.
I'm glad that they enjoyed themselves. You guys going to be doing it again?
I hope so. Hope next year.
Cool. Awesome. What else did you do?
Oh, that was the big one. Getting that over was...
Wow.
Yeah.
So apparently, whatever movies you watched this weekend didn't wow you.
No.
Oh, great.
No, they really did not.
You watched what?
I saw the remake of Poltergeist and Disney's Tomorrowland.
Okay. We will get into that shortly. Let me move on to me.
Okay.
Egos.
That's just like how I directed, but
exactly.
Go ahead.
Let me move on to me. It was an interesting weekend for myself. I have been hotly anticipating a game for the last month called The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Been waiting for this game forever. Love the game so far. There's a couple of game-breaking bugs in it right now. They're patching it tonight, apparently, which is good for the consoles. But I've been having a good time. If you're a Witcher fan, or not even a fan of The Witcher, either way, it's a good game to play. It's medieval in a sense. It's about a guy who's got special powers to take out monsters. He's a sword for hire, as it were.
Sounds like Monster Hunter.
Kind of, sort of, but the fact is that he is the people are afraid of witchers. They're discriminated against, mm-hmm, because of their powers and things of that nature. You're writing a book kind of in the same vein,
yeah.
But they're professional, so they always get paid.
So it's Hansel and Gretel.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it's the graphics are wonderful. It's the story so far is very good. There are so many things to do in this game that the map is the world is huge. It's bigger, according to what I've read. It's bigger than Skyrim, Grand Theft Auto V, and Red Dead Redemption put together.
Really?
This thing is huge. There is so much. There is so much land to traverse. They have put in so much side stuff. The side quests become stories of their own. They're not just things to check off a checklist.
Awesome!
It's amazing. The combat is good. The acting is good. You know, we don't talk too much about gaming as of late because there hasn't been much, but we'll start talking about it more because summer's coming.
And what platform is this on?
I'm playing it on Xbox One, but it's on the PS4 and PC.
Cool.
I will tell you this, guys. It is a great game if you're looking into playing a game that is different, that's bold. I am really enjoying it. This is a 100-plus-hour game for sure. And then on top of that...
And this is solo, right?
No co-op or any of that stuff. It's a solo game. On top of that, the guys who made it are every week they're releasing 2 bits of downloadable content for 16 pieces of downloadable content for free to anybody that buys the game. And then on top of that, get this, they're expanding.
Is it actual content?
Yeah.
No.
This
the
is
leaves
actual
are
content.
Green now.
No, it's actual content. Like, okay. The first week that it came out, they gave you armor, mm-hmm, and armor for your horse. And then they gave you appearances.
There's horse riding?
There's horse armor. Awesome. It's awesome. There's horse riding and horse racing.
Oh.
And then, of course, as a witcher, you carry 2 swords. You carry one for monsters and one for humans, which is really cool. And you got to, mm-hmm, learn how to... You don't just learn how to fight, but you have to learn how to use potions and oils that give you buffs in battle and stuff. Like, it's very RPG.
Hmm.
But so far, it's been very, very good. But like I said, we haven't talked a lot about gaming on the Nerd Watch as of late, just because there hasn't been very much there.
Right, exactly.
I haven't played Mortal Kombat. I have that at home, still waiting to play that. But we will be talking more about it because Batman Arkham Knight comes out at the end of June, which I'm definitely going to be playing. And then, of course, Elder Scrolls Unlimited comes out on June 9th, which I'm going to be playing, which looks great. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. So the reason I bring this up is because we have guys that listen to us in North Carolina. A friend of mine who lived in Oahu that I went to school with, I graduated with, I've been friends with him for over 20 years. His name is Eddie. So big shout out to Eddie and the boys in North Carolina. Eddie's the kind of, he loves North Carolina. His wife is from there. Eddie's he's a local boy. He's a Hawaiian kid.
So he would go.
Right. So he would go. Eddie would go. That's exactly what he did. Eddie sticks out kind of like a, well, like a Hawaiian guy in North Carolina.
Oh.
Yeah. He's the kind of guy, he's a friend. He's a guy that you have when you're in North Carolina.
He's the kind of guy, he's a friend. Yeah. I'm afraid you're going to break into song.
No, no, no. He's the kind of guy that you have as a friend when you're a white guy in North Carolina to say that you're not racist.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
The token.
The token. He is
wait,
the
wait,
token.
Wait, wait, wait a second. Am I your token?
Well, here's the thing, is that no one would know, looking at me, that I am also a minority.
Because everyone assumes you're a local boy.
Everybody, no, no, no. Everybody assumes that I'm the guy who took their Ina, but that's okay. I can live with that.
You're from Zimbabwe, though, right?
Right, exactly. Right?
Okay.
Exactly.
I was wondering.
But anyway, back on point. I want to send a big shout-out to those guys because they listen a lot, and they were talking about, they were critiquing the show a bit. Like, hey, why don't you guys talk more about games? So I thought I'd bring it up. And
games,
and
games, 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 like games, games. There
right.
you go.
Yeah, there you go. There it is. And then Eddie and those guys that listen to us down there also love, like, figures and Funkos and Pops and stuff like that.
Oh.
So I'm officially going to invite, I asked him on the phone, but I'm going to officially invite him now to put him on blast. To say that I want him to be my Funko guy. This my buddy Eddie has so many Funko Pops, it's ridiculous. He can fill just one house, one room in his house with Funkos. It's ridiculous, his collection. He likes figures. I want him to give me weekly updates on the Nerd Watch of figures. I am more than willing, with your permission as well, to get your feedback. I'm going to vote him in as an admin and have him put on the weekly, you know, Funko or collectible collectibles of the week.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea, it's don't a great you? Idea. You know, yeah. Because it's very pop culture and things of that nature. So,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, plus he's Hawaiian. I mean, our Facebook page is, you know, all kinds of affirmative action. It's fine. So it's cool. I figured we could.
I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, okay, I just checked. Right, right. But with Eddie, we meet our quota of local boys.
Right, right.
Because you're here.
Uh-huh, sure.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that. I should say Pacific Islanders.
Right, right.
There
right.
we go. That's more appropriate.
You're so PC tonight.
I know I am. I'm trying to be. But, yeah, big shout-out to Eddie and the boys in North Carolina for listening to the show. We really appreciate your feedback, and we really want you guys to be involved. And I'm putting Eddie on our list right now as the guy who's going to update us on collectibles. And speaking of that, I noticed that there is a great Hot Toys collectible that came out. I read this 2 days ago, of a new Iron Man with the Mark 8 suit. It's amazing. Look it up. I haven't posted it on the Nerd Watch yet because I haven't had a chance to. It looks awesome.
Mark 8? Which one is that one? Is that the Bleeding Edge?
No.
No.
No, 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 no,
Bleeding
no.
Edge is like up there, isn't it? Like 32 so. Or something.
Something like that, yeah. It's that one is awesome, by the way. But anyway, Professor Barry, getting back to you. Oh, by the way, just to let you guys know, I got a lot of pushback for our Mad Max was Pitch Perfect show, our podcast from last week.
Oh, great! Cool.
The boys that listen to us on the mainland, they thought that it wasn't as good as we thought.
Really?
And I was like, and I thought to myself, I know why. He's actually a few years younger than I am, so I think he missed the boat on the Road Warrior and Mad Max and Beyond Thunderdome. So maybe they didn't get it. So they weren't as stoked as we were.
What do they think was lacking? I'm curious, and please send us your emails and your thoughts.
Nerd,
we'd love to hear what you
watch
just
us.
Comment on the
yeah,
Facebook
comment
page.
On the Facebook page.
Please, yeah, because I can't think of anything that I didn't leave the theater wanting anything. If anything,
marshmallows.
It was well,
I wanted marshmallows. There wasn't any marshmallows.
Was, right,
well, you got me there. But I mean, there was nothing in the movie. Like, I, if anything, I felt like a, like stuffed from a banquet. I didn't feel like
yeah.
there was anything lacking.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't have really a chance to talk. But like I said, whatever feedback they want to give us on the show, because they didn't like it as much as, say, the Avengers, and I liked it more than the Avengers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I like it more than anything I've seen so far this year, actually.
Absolutely. So, take that! North Carolina.
Right? Games.
Yeah. Picked it. So a big shout out to Eddie and the boys over there. I want to send a big shout out to those guys.
We just lost subscribers.
We did, didn't we? Notice I didn't say his last name, so he it's we'll just leave it at that. But secondly, Professor Barry, getting back to some movies that we're going to talk about. We'll talk about some movie news as well. Professor Barry, you watched two films. One, of course, was the remake of Poltergeist. We did the commentary on the original. And by the way, I didn't mention this when we talked about it earlier. Mm-hmm. I listened back to it, and I watched the movie. Have you listened to any of it?
No, I haven't listened to it yet.
Is it off?
It is on.
Awesome.
What I did was this. I ended up doing our little intro for it. And then for about 10 seconds, I put the kids singing the la, 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 la,
yeah.
la, and it goes right into the pod, right into the commentary.
Wow.
Nice, man.
So and it worked out really well, and I was surprised at how well that I had done it.
Congratulations.
Pat myself on the back. Yeah, right. But I listened to it, and it was a lot of fun watching it. I mean, we even mimicked some of the lines, and it went perfect with it. I thought Gannon did a great job. You did a great job. And I was just there really feeding off of you guys. You guys made a lot of fun. So, your format, I think you'll love it. I had a blast.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I had an absolute blast.
I got to figure out how to cue stuff together now. Pink Floyd and Wizard of Oz all over again.
Well, we had such a good time with Poltergeist. And, you forget sometimes how good a movie is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Poltergeist is one of those movies. So now we're in a new film in 2015, remaking Poltergeist. Professor Barry, you've seen it. What was your take on the new Poltergeist?
It didn't help, of course, that I just saw the original Poltergeist, which is
of course.
Such an immeasurably stronger film from start to beginning. I'll tell you this, to give the remake of Poltergeist all the credit it deserves, because it starts off very strong. It really felt like they really had something.
Who's the new director?
Gil Keenan, the guy who directed Monster House, of all things. This is his first live action film.
The one that Steven Spielberg had produced.
DreamWorks animation film. Yeah, okay. Yes, this is his first live action film. It has an opening credit sequence in which the titles are shadows over this large field of suburban homes. And the camera is constantly sliding and gliding all over suburbia. It's getting into the little crevices, little cracks. What I'm trying to say is the filmmaking reminded me a lot of a film by David Fincher. That is exactly the kind of filmmaking we're talking about.
That's some high praise.
That is high praise, because it's beautiful. It's mm-hmm. absolutely beautiful. The camera work is very... I mean, it's very reminiscent of Panic Room, the way the camera's constantly gliding into, the little cracks of a table, the little cracks of a home appliance. It's really striking stuff at first. The performances are a problem. Nobody seems to really buy any of this stuff, and I hate to say that about Sam Rockwell, but it's a very distanced performance. It's almost like he didn't really commit to it, so he has kind of this detached,
really?
Kind of this detached bemusement to what he's doing.
That doesn't sound like Sam.
It's very odd, because he's a great actor, but I wouldn't get that from this movie.
That's surprising, considering the fact that how disappointing Iron Man 2 was. He was probably one of the best parts of Iron Man 2.
I completely agree. And his co-star is Rosemary DeWitt, who I love. I've loved her in everything except for this movie. There's all these scenes where, the story where her child is abducted. She's dealing with the stress of the situation, and Rosemary DeWitt seems barely engaged by the movie.
Huh.
There's all these moments where the two of them should be breaking down. You remember the haunted look on Craig T. Nelson's face when he's talking to the paranormal experts. You never get anything like that in this movie. These guys don't seem to believe what's happening to them, and not in a way that's character-driven, in a way that the actors don't seem really committed to all this supernatural hokum going on.
Interesting. So that detracts from its immersion.
It's
assuming.
A huge problem, because I really didn't care about this family. I really didn't. The kids are cute, but they were much more strong in the characterization and in terms of being individuals in the original.
Wow.
So obviously all the comparisons to the original really hurt this film.
Sure.
Taken by itself, it's pretty good for about 40 minutes or so. The CGI is blatantly obvious, to the point where it's almost like, and this is not praise at all. It's almost like Jan de Bont's remake of The Haunting, where the CGI is so blatantly obvious that it kind of takes you out of the moment because you're looking at special effects. You're not looking at anything other right. than obvious special right. effects.
So let's just say that this movie was called House instead of Poltergeist.
It would be even more forgettable than it is now.
Really?
Yeah, it's so disappointing. And the last two scenes of it are a disaster. It has one of these endings that must have been reshot about four or five times, because it has like one of those endings that feels like one of those bad deleted alternate endings you get on the DVD. It's really bad.
Ew.
And there's a post-credit sequence. It happens pretty early in the credits. It feels like a blooper. So like the movie has you walking out like chuckling or smiling. Like it has like this sitcom-y sort of ending.
Wow.
It's really, really weird.
So where would you put it on your scale of scary to, or not so scary to terrifying?
Oh, gosh. I mean,
sounds like a one.
Well, in terms of how scary it is, I mean, like, there's some aggressive scares, but it's because the volume is so loud. The 3D is quite good, and the volume is very loud. So, like, when the clown lunges at the boy, it's like hearing a car horn.
How'd they work the clown in, by the way, if this is...
It's very forced, but it's actually a very effective sequence where the boy finds a box full of these stuffed clowns left behind in this house they moved in. They never explain.
Wow.
Yeah, they never explain where they're from. And it's a creepy scene, and the way they introduce the clown is very effective. But, I mean, it was much more effective when the kid just had it as a stuffed animal that he shared with his sister, I think.
Wow. Okay, so not very terrifying. On a scale, on your star scale, where would you put it?
Because the filmmaking is very strong, it's clearly a gifted filmmaker who needs a better screenplay, and because the first hour, roughly, is very promising, 2 stars.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
So 2 stars just for the effort. Wow. How nice of you to give him for
I'm giving
effort.
It a star for effort. To one of those students. Good job, Billy.
Good job.
Keep up the good work.
Good job, Gilly. Good work. Now, moving on to a movie that you could say is... almost more important as of the week. It was the box office champion, barely.
Yeah.
Barely beating out Pitch Perfect 2. You watched George Clooney and Britt Robertson in Tomorrowland, the latest film from Brad Bird, and also written by Damon Lindelof.
Yeah.
What say you on Tomorrowland?
Tomorrowland opens, and I don't want to give much of the plot away because they've been keeping this thing a secret for 2 years, so I definitely don't want to give away all the things about it that are good.
Right.
But it opens with a sequence set in the World's Fair, and it's beautiful. It's vivid. It's
what year?
What year?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's...
Is the one where they started to... advertise electricity, or there was on display.
Yeah, it's the introduction of the Disney Tomorrowland rides.
Oh, okay,
and
cool.
Being there. Yeah, I mean it's just beautiful. The detail is very vivid, and then somewhere around about the again probably about the hour mark, you kind of wonder who the movie's for and what it's trying to do. And there's all these elements that don't really go together. It feels like you're watching different movies at the same time. There's a scene, oddly enough, in a store, not a comic book shop, but it's a sci-fi movie memorabilia store. I didn't realize they had those, but apparently they do in this movie. And it's fun to like look at all the toys and stuff in this store. And then there's a shootout in the store. There's this big elaborate sequence, and it just doesn't work.
Shootout?
Yeah, it's really, really
forced. With laser guns or actual guns?
Laser guns. Yeah, it's...
What?
Yeah. Yeah, and then once you get to the meat of what the film is about, it has a message that I really liked, and I don't want to get into the message, but let's just say it's a very optimistic view of humankind, which is very rare.
Right, very rare.
In science fiction films. The problem...
That should have happened during the last review of Poltergeist.
That should have.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been far creepier.
Anyway,
at Tomorrowland, I can't tell you. There's a few movies that I want to give the film a lot of props because it's a beautiful film. The visual effects are gorgeous. The design of it is great. The performances are very good by everybody. But the story just doesn't give you the uplift and the inspiration that it wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the film, I wondered who the film was for, and I walked out completely unsatisfied.
So, Brad Bird. This is his first clunker, it sounds like.
I think so.
Now, is that due to him or is that due to the script?
I'd say it's a little bit of both because I think his his love, I mean, we know how his love and nostalgia has fueled his prior films.
Of course,
and successfully so. I feel like too much of that is in this movie. There's a lot of the movie that it's meant to evoke nostalgia, but it's also a very corporate movie. Wow. It's a very, I think this is a, you know, without stating the obvious, like this is as corporate a movie as Saving Mr. Banks was. I feel right. like it's a little too on the nose obvious about that.
How about the Clooney? How was he?
He's very good. He's giving the kind of performance and role that you would normally see Harrison Ford take on. And it's fun. He's very good in it.
Is he?
He is.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. So Tomorrowland. You didn't give away too much. But on your scale of 1 to 5, if, you know, fun sci-fi as opposed to existential sci-fi or hard sci-fi, where would you put it?
It is... It's one of those, you know, I don't like to use this cliche, but it's a noble failure. So I say about 2.5 stars. There's,
wow.
There's good stuff in the movie, but
it's... A noble failure.
It is certainly a failure. I understand why it hasn't connected with audiences. The kids in the theater, and there are many children in the theater, they were visibly restless. And I was restless along with them. I completely understood why these kids were like not completely taken by this movie. It wants to evoke awe, and it just can't quite do it.
Wow.
And for reasons that I don't really want to give away, but yeah, it's a big disappointment.
Wow, that's sad. Well, I'm glad that I missed it then. For now, I guess I'll wait on video.
It's worth waiting for. It's worth seeing, I think. But yeah,
it's worth waiting for.
Yes.
All right, fantastic. All right, well, two disappointing films this week or this past week. Now this week we have two new films hitting, don't we? The first being The Rock, who's going to rock bottom. The earthquake in San Andreas. And then the other one is...
Aloha.
Aloha. Now, we're going to bring this up. We're going to talk some news, some movie news in a minute here, because it has to deal with a couple of interesting things. But let's broach this subject because we are based out of Maui. And, of course, it's here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. Let's talk a little bit about what the controversy is surrounding the movie, the latest movie from Bradley Cooper and Emma Stone, set here in Hawaii, called Aloha, the latest film from Cameron Crowe.
I thought we were going to talk about The Rock.
No. Okay. Well, this concerns
you. It was like the same lead-up.
Oh, sorry. Well, this concerns you. This concerns, because he's also a Pacific Islander. So this may perk up your interest. So there's been a lot of controversy surrounding Aloha as of late here in the islands. What's the deal? What's happening?
The controversy is that different groups. Initially it was an Asian. It was an Asian American group, right. And it's expanded to different professors and just yesterday. It came out that the film commissioner for Oahu said that they really disapproved with the use of the title. It's all about the title. It's not the movie. No one's seen the movie yet. I believe tonight's the night that they're actually screening it for film critics nationwide, but no one's seen this thing. So everybody's complaining about the title specifically. They're saying that this movie is exploiting a title, not using it respectfully, not using it in a way that implicates how it can... advocate for Hawaiians, how it's historically valuable, how it's emotionally valuable. They say like they're using the title Aloha in a way, in a very greeting card sort of way, in a kind of empty, whitewashed mainlander way.
And I don't understand the controversy. I don't see what the. So are we to believe that the culture is so highbrow now that we can't. It's not okay that this is an island that everybody would like to come to that is supposedly full of aloha and love, that we have to have some controversy surrounding the name of the film? I don't understand. I'm at a loss. What's the deal? What am I missing?
Well, I think to talk about the film for just a moment, when it was shot 2 years ago, this film has been percolating for a while. When it was filmed 2 years ago,
yes,
when Cameron Crowe shot the film on Oahu, the working title was Deep Tiki. I don't think he really ever had a good title in mind for this film.
That sounds like Deep Tiki.
We're in Deep Tiki here, yeah. So Aloha is definitely a step up from Deep Tiki.
I would have to say yes, because considering the fact that it sounds like an island-based pornography movie, adult film.
Yes.
That's what it
sounds
like to
me. Very PC tonight. I'm very proud of you, man.
Sorry. I'm trying to correct myself as I go along here. Okay. So anyway, So they have an issue just with the name. It's not even with the movie.
It's not. No one's seen the movie. It's all about the trailer, and everybody's complaining that the trailer focuses on, you know, the Howley Mainlander characters. It doesn't seem to evoke
it
anybody.
It takes place on a military base. I don't understand it. Am I missing something?
Well, and what's interesting is that Fox has countered it with saying, look at our behind-the-scenes ad for the film. There's a behind-the-scenes short film that is available online where you see not only Bumpy Kanahele, the Hawaiian sovereignty spokesperson.
Oh, I'm
he's
sorry.
In the film.
You mean the ex-convict Bumpy Kanahele? You mean that guy?
That guy.
Oh, he's that's the guy that we're so proud of here in Hawaii. Bumpy Kanahele. Sorry, I'm getting so passionate. Sorry.
He's in the film, and I think that's one of the things that Fox is saying. Like, look, the film actually does deal with local culture, but it's obviously not entirely about local culture. And, you know, and the thing is, like, for me, it's neither here nor there, because nobody's seen the movie. This is like when people were picketing Last Temptation of Christ before they'd even seen the thing.
Right.
It's like, you got to see the film before you bash it. And we're going to know in just a few days if this movie is going to sink or swim.
Okay, well, I take a lot of umbrage with this whole issue, considering the fact that the local culture is not even – it's not a local culture. It's an amalgamation of many cultures into this culture. I just don't understand. There's the Hawaiian culture, which is fine. But there's also Japanese culture. There's Portuguese culture.
Right.
There's American – there's European culture here. There's all kinds of cultures that meld together that bring in that make us unique. I've always considered Hawaii unique – because we are truly the melting pot, because
right.
People here in the islands are not just we're not sectioned off into towns. Like, we don't have, say, a little Italy or, you know, a little, you know, like a little Greece or whatever. It's everybody's together and everybody's a different culture. There's
right.
You know, I just don't understand what the issue is. Listen, Samoan guy, what what am I missing here? Am I missing? What's the deal? Yeah, tell me. What am I missing?
Oh, I don't. Format? Why are you asking me? I'm in the same boat you're in. Like, I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah, I don't. Is there? I don't understand.
Especially that they haven't seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was. I don't know. The public always does this.
Yeah.
You know, whenever it comes to movies, like in general, like I remember when people were picketing Dogma,
right? Yep.
And it wasn't even out. I think it was great that Kevin Smith went and picketed with them, but I don't understand like all the hate for something that you haven't seen before. It's very against the whole meaning of aloha,
right?
So. I don't know. I don't get it. I'll judge the movie when it comes out. You know, I'm not going to say, oh, the movie sucks. You know, I haven't even looked at it. Yeah, I don't know. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I don't understand. You know, Fox shouldn't be promoting Bumpy Kanahele, by the way. He was a federal fugitive at one point in his career. He's a Hawaii nationalist. He does, in my opinion, for as long as I've lived here, he doesn't represent anything that has to do with the wonderfulness of the Hawaiian people or the Hawaiian culture, in my opinion. So, you know, people may disagree with me, whatever, that's fine, but I am not a fan, and I think Fox is going the wrong way about this guy. So anyway, I think...
it almost sounds like they just pulled some random local name. Yeah. Just so they can be like, no, we have locals. They're in the movie somewhere.
Yeah,
somewhere
this
in
is
the back.
This is the same guy that was.
They're serving lunch.
He. How can we say? Can I say that him and his group, I believe, squatted on Makapu'u Beach at one time, and was asked to leave, and he didn't. And anyway, I don't want to get into the whole rigmarole of politics, but you know, if anybody wants to correct me if I'm wrong, please do. I'd be more than happy to take it. But listen, this is a movie based in Hawaii that takes place on a military base. There's a lot more guys that are of European descent, or what you guys like to call Howleys. And when I say you guys, I mean local people. Howleys. I don't think this is much ado about nothing. So let's hope the movie's good. And let's hope that we don't. I think that in the name of this is what's happening to this country. Let me get into this really quick. This whole thing about political directness, political correctness and diversity is starting to ruin this country. I'm telling you at this point. Now it's starting to even infiltrate our lives here in the lovely island of, or the lovely island of Maui and the state of Oahu. And this thing of cultural diversity is becoming just ridiculous, and it's starting to ruin everything. So, it's starting to frustrate me. Let's all get together. Let's all enjoy the fact that we all live under one banner. We all have different cultures, and let's just come together the way Hawaii is now. What's wrong? I don't understand what the problem is now. But anyway, listen, I digress. I can go on with this stuff forever. So,
and he will.
And I will. Well, let's move on, shall we? All right, so let's just say there's no controversy in this. Let's wait till the film comes out. Would that be fair?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. The film needs controversy because it's opening up against San Andreas. This movie needs publicity. So I'm not saying that this is something that Fox created, but if they did, it's brilliant because this movie, it needs help. Right. This is a romantic comedy, so it's going to stand out like a sore thumb, which is good. The word on the movie, just in terms, it's had a very long shelf life. This thing has been sitting for some time.
Right.
So there is unfortunately the chance that this movie may not deliver.
Which is possible.
So like what I'm trying to say is, I mean, I'm rooting for the movie. I hope it's terrific. I would love for it to be one of the best films of the year because I love Cameron Crowe. That's an amazing cast, and I love that they shot this thing in Oahu and that it's supposed to be Cameron Crowe's ode to Hawaii. That he loves this place. That he really wanted to make a film that captures the spirituality and the mixed play culture of this place. That apparently was about what he was aiming for when he made the film. So I hope the film reflects that.
I do. I'm pretty sure that a local guy, Alika, I'm going to use you as an example. Sorry. I hope it's okay. Let's take Alika. He's a local guy.
Yes.
He's a businessman. He runs a great comic book shop, Maui Comics and Collectibles, here in Maui. I'm sure that he wants people to hollow the halls of his shop that he doesn't want just Hawaiian shopping here. I'm sure he wants Portuguese shopping here. Filipinos. Howdy, people. He wants everybody to come and shop at his place. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just don't understand. There's a point. Let's come together on this. Let's all just meld together. Let's be the melting pot that I know Hawaii truly is. It's not New York City. It ain't Los Angeles. Everybody says New York City's the one. I believe the melting pot of the world is here in Hawaii, and that's my personal opinion. People can disagree with me all they want, but I think it is truly, truly here, and I think that is something very special about living in Hawaii for sure.
I agree with you, but can we also just say that, can we just admit that this is really not a good title? As much as, I love the word Aloha, obviously. I use it every single day of my life in different connotations and ways, all good and positive.
So should just Hawaiians or people from here use Aloha? Am I not allowed to use it anymore?
When remember the film that came out when we were teenagers, Aloha Summer? Remember that film?
That was a great movie, and Chris Makepeace.
And that is a perfect use of that title because it was about when Hawaii first became, the statehood and what it was like for those white guys to get off the
Chosen
plane.
Was in it? Chosen was in it?
That's right, he was. Yuji Akimoto.
Yeah. No, Chosen.
Sorry, Chosen. Miyagi! And then, like that, it worked perfectly in that case. Like, in this case, like, is Aloha really the best? I mean, for a movie that, Hawaii is, let's face it, it is going to be background noise no matter what, because this film is, as you said, set in a military base. The main characters are not Hawaiian. It's John Krasinski and Bill Murray and Bradley Cooper and Dan McBride and Alec Baldwin. Yeah, all those guys.
Yeah, that's what I say. So, then I think they should make their own movie about... By the way, just to give a shout-out to a local guy who makes local movies, I want to give a shout-out to a friend of mine, Ed Joy. He makes local movies with local people, and I don't think enough people talk about his work. He's done a movie called Divers, which is a fantastic local movie with local actors, local crew, and everything. No one seems to talk about him, and he lives on this island. He puts a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into the movies that he makes, and he does a great job. So, Ed Joy, big ups to you, my friend, if you listen to the show. Great local Hawaiian guy making Hawaiian movies about Hawaiian people.
That's great.
Great stuff. So big ups to Ed Joy for sure. Plus he's an MMA fighter, so he could probably kick my round butt for sure.
What if they picked a different Hawaiian word?
Yeah, what would you pick?
What if it was called Mahalo?
What if it was called Okole?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But aloha means there's so many things to aloha. Right. I just don't understand.
And it seems like that's what Cameron Crowe's trying to do, this whole notion of, like, the tagline is you can't say hello before you say goodbye, or say you can't, or vice versa. So it's like trying to use the word aloha as kind of the overarching theme about putting his ex-girlfriend behind him before he can run off with Emma Stone.
Sure. Well, like I said, I think this living in the islands is as diverse as it gets. So I don't think we need to separate ourselves any further than we shouldn't separate ourselves at all, because we're so close knit already.
So you're not going to pick this film? You're not going to have one of those signs that says "No Aloha" the day it opens?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm going to have I'll have my No Bumpy sticker, my No Bumpy bumper stickers out for that. Oh my gosh,
the No Bumpy bumper sticker.
Yeah, I can't believe that they are championing that guy at Fox. Oh my gosh.
Apparently, I haven't seen the footage, but apparently it's like, you know, behind the scenes. They interview him, and you know he's in the film. I don't know if he's playing himself.
He's in the film.
He's in the film.
Oh crap! Now I don't want to watch it.
Anyway. So now you're going to pick at this film.
Now, right, because I would have picked it because Bumpy Cunahele is in it. What the? Anyway, no. Anyway, I'm going to watch this movie regardless. It's based in Hawaii, so what the heck. Yeah. Plus, it's good. Most of the time, it's good for the economy.
This was very good for the economy.
So
yeah.
let's give it a shot.
Support these things.
You know,
yeah.
Let's support these things that happen here in the islands.
Yeah.
Anywho.
More of these things to happen.
Absolutely.
Yes, we do.
I want. Wasn't Jurassic World filmed here?
Yes.
Some of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's encourage production to happen here in the islands.
When these crews come out here, it's like 80 or 90 of these guys, production assistants, and they need places to eat, to sleep, to stay, to shop.
And to read comic books.
And to read comic
Hello,
books.
Hello, Maui Comics and Collectibles, right here in the heart of Kahului Town.
333 Dairy Road at the Kaku Center.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, fantastic. Anyway, moving on from that, let's get into some interesting news really quick. I want to just do a couple pieces. We're running a little long tonight, so I wanted to shorten up some stuff. First off, and this is where I may need Alika's help, the man who runs the proprietor of Maui Comics and Collectibles. There is word on the street, ladies and gentlemen. I posted it on the Nerd Watch that there is going to be a reboot of, if you can believe it, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Wow.
They're going to reboot that series.
Why?
According to them, they say that the first film was obviously not great.
That's one way to put it.
They do have fans. I'm a fan. I enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah.
I certainly enjoyed it for what it was. What did you guys think?
I liked it. I'm a fan of the movie.
Well, this is the original was 98? Something like that.
Yeah.
That came out. That came out when, you know, there wasn't very many comic book movies out.
You're talking about the movie? The movie was 2003.
Oh, was it 2003?
Sorry, I was talking about the comic. Yeah, the movie was 2003.
No, the comic was, you're right, it was 98 or something, 99 or something like
that. Yeah, that's what I thought.
2003. Now, the movie itself, with Sean Connery, the word on the street is, or the famous word on the street is that Stephen Norrington quit directing because of Sean Connery.
Right.
That's why this never happened. Or that's why we've never seen, they say it wasn't good enough for the screen. I will say that the makeup was bad and things of that nature, but League of Extraordinary with the Invisible Man, you know what I'm talking about. But I think the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is a masterful comic. First of all, it's a masterful. Alan Moore.
Yeah, edgy, violent, shocking. There's a rape scene involving the Invisible Man. It's edgy stuff. It's as edgy as Watchmen was.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it is too. A matter of fact, but that a lot of the movie didn't have any of that edginess to it. But the comic itself was very, very good. Alan Moore. After the disaster that was The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, wanted his name pretty much taken off of Watchmen, the movie. He had such a bad experience with it. I think The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is ripe for it's ripe for a remake. I would like to see it. I think the classic character. What I like about The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is that it would get people to read a book. I like the fact that we get to see when you talk. Ooh, who's Tom Sawyer, or who is who's Alan Quartermain, or ooh, H.G. Wells, and you know, things of this nature. Who you know, who's what's her name? Ellie? Is it Ellie Harker?
Is it Mina?
Mina Harker. Mina, yeah. Not Ellie. Mina. So people ask these questions. That's really cool because these are These are people from literature. And I think that's really neat. And I think that, you know, not only can they get interested in the movie, but they can get interested in the actual books that they're originated from. So, I don't know. Are you guys fans of that? They're thinking about putting the band back together, as it were.
I'd be curious to see what they do with it. I was not a fan of the film. I just thought it was really chaotic. But these characters are so ripe. I agree with it. Mm-hmm. The comic book is masterful. It's such good material.
And there was a second part to the comic that we never saw, which was very good too.
There's so many directions they can go with this.
Yeah, I think it's a good. What about you, Format? What do you think?
I'm for it. Like I'm curious as to why now.
It seems a little odd. Well, then again, how popular comic book films are.
Oh, yeah. So they're just snatching at whatever.
There's a franchise, right. Exactly. There's a franchise to it, so.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't think there needs to be a remake. I mean, like a reboot, I guess. I don't know. Like the comic, like, you know, I agree with everyone. The comic was great. The whole premise of just gathering all these characters, you know, throughout literature.
Sure, sure.
And throwing them all together into these weird situations.
Sure.
It's great. I wouldn't mind watching another movie.
No, I wouldn't either. I think it'd be a good idea.
I don't know if it needs to be a reboot, though. Maybe just a sequel. Because, I mean, okay, yes, the first movie wasn't like a, you know, grandstanding, you know, amazing masterpiece of cinema, but there was like a level of campiness that actually carried the film.
Sure, sure.
And I think I enjoyed it more because of that.
Sure, sure.
I think I might have been, because, you know, truth be told, I did see the movie before picking up the comic. And when I found out, oh, that's how the comic is, that really kind of,
it's pretty. It's very adult.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, I can see maybe doing something along the lines of the comic.
Crazy.
But the fun and just craziness of the first movie.
Sure.
I don't see why we have to replace that.
No, I don't think we should either. I think it's a good idea though. I'd like to see it back on screen. Do you have those here, Alika?
Somewhere in the back issue.
You got those. Do you have, you've got some League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? If you guys live in here on Maui, if you guys have not read it, and Alika here at the Maui Comics and Collectibles does have it, come down and read them. They are, I don't want to say it's a bad analogy, but it's not an adult comic. It's, the themes are very.
So it's 16 and up?
Yeah, I would say so. But if Alika has them here, I would suggest coming down and picking them up because they're amazing books. So yes. Give them a shot.
You gotta find them first.
Yeah, you gotta. if we can find them down here, because there is just a sea of goodness down here, by the way. So anyway, so that's that may be happening. Anyway, moving on to some more interesting news in the Nerd Watch front. Point Break, the trailer for the movie, the new movie.
I still got to see this.
That's not starring Keanu Reeves, nor is it starring Patrick Swayze.
For obvious reasons.
Yes. Wow.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Really?
Too soon.
Hey, you know, the Alderaan blew up.
Yeah.
Too soon?
Well, Jesus. Alderaan's like, you know, a fictitious play. Patrick Swayze is like this wonderful actor. Continue.
Hey, well, some would say that his career is also fictitious, wouldn't they?
I'm pretty sure it exists.
The guy in Roadhouse, or the guy in Red Dawn, his characters are fictitious.
Yes, his characters are. Yeah, this is his career. Like, Scorsese wasn't fictitious. Like,
no, not his career. Come on, man.
I was like, I was with you, and then you lost me, and then I was trying to catch up, and I was like, screw it.
Trying to steer the sensitivity.
The characters that he plays.
Back on the road. Yes. He played fictitious characters, yes. Including Bodhi.
That's right.
Point Break, which we're talking about.
Thank you.
Yes.
Getting back to center. Bodhi. Yeah, there is a guy named Bodhi in this trailer. This resembles nothing of Point Break. Matter of fact, the two leads in this look quite awful. I posted it on the Nerd Watch. It does not look, to me at least, it does not look good.
Not Do you know who they are?
Edgar Ramirez is playing Bodhi, and yes. he is. I think he's a sensational actor.
No, he is.
I don't know why he's doing this cheesy movie. Really, and no. it looks cheesy. I'm
it
sorry.
Does, doesn't it,
looks,
it?
It looks elaborate, no question. But let me be very, very direct about this. Point Break was ripped off when a movie called The Fast and the Furious came out. The Fast and the Furious is Point Break, except on land. There's no skydiving, whatever. But the whole dynamic of an undercover cop infiltrating a family of criminals, it's the same plot by plot point. There's even like the relationship with the female. I mean, it's so close to Point Break.
And there's even surfing in Fast and the Furious.
Right. So when you get to this is like, it's weird, because this is a remake of the film that ripped off Point Break. So now it's like we've gone full circle. So it's clearly influenced by Fast and the Furious, but it's trying to kind of sort of include the elements that we're familiar with Point Break, except of course it's about extreme sports, whereas in Point Break, the original film, it was basically just about extreme behavior.
Yeah.
But that film, directed by Kathryn Bigelow, I mean, it's still one of the best action films of the 90s. It's a thrilling film. It's outlandish. It's been parodied a number of times. But no question, I mean, it's one of the best action films Keanu Reeves ever did. Yeah, I would say it's Patrick Swayze's best performance. I think he's hypnotic in that film. And Bigelow made, just to use the term I like to use when I'm talking about a movie, I mean, it's a balls-to-the-wall action movie. There's a scene where Patrick Swayze jumps out of a plane, and it's him. He goes, adios, amigos, and the camera follows him down. I mean, the filmmaking in that movie is extraordinary. It still is. This movie, this new one, it looks like a lot of CGI. It's clearly influenced by Fast and the Furious, and not necessarily in a good way.
In a good way, yeah. So Point Break, one to stay away from at this point.
This it's a Christmas. So, like, it's either this or Star Wars. The Force is not with
if
this
If I
movie.
Have to choose, easily Point Break for sure.
They Easy. Put it against Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah.
What?
Yeah, it does say this Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I think anybody that goes up against Star Wars this Christmas is suicide.
Yeah. Because even James Bond is opening a month earlier.
In November.
Mission Impossible 5 was supposed to be a Christmas film, and now it's a summer film. I mean, mm-hmm. they know what they're all going up against. I don't know what, you know, respectfully to Fox.
I don't see why anyone else is opening on.
Unless your genre is completely opposite.
And this is the same demographic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad move.
And Keanu Reeves is still old enough and still he still looks good enough to play this part.
Sure.
I mean, he could still play Johnny Utah. They should have just done Point Break 2 or just call it Johnny Utah.
I would love to have seen him in Point Break 2.
Yeah, and get Gary Busey back. You know, I'm sure he'd be happy to do it.
Gary Busey would be happy to do anything at his point in his career.
Well, it's either that or the Ginger Dead Man 3, you know, so, yeah.
Absolutely. So, speaking of Keanu Reeves, there's also posted, I'm not going to get too much into it, but I also posted a trailer for Eli Roth's new film starring Keanu Reeves called Knock Knock. If you have not seen it, it's quite disturbing. It seems like it's something from Eli Roth.
Yeah.
For sure. And I don't know, you have to see the trailer. I don't know if I'm going to see this at the theater. I don't know if it's necessary, but you know.
It looks very sick. It looks very reminiscent of Funny Games.
It does. I was just about to say.
Yeah.
Funny Games. I remember the German one is the one to watch. Is it German or is it Swedish? I think it's Swedish.
Hanukkah is come on. He's Austrian.
It's Austrian. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Funny Games from whatever European country it's from, you should watch it. All right.
Well,
it's
have nightmares for days. I know I did.
It's an amazing film. It's actually on Netflix. You should watch it. It's crazy. Anyway, speaking of crazy, Batman is taking on the Man of Steel in Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. But
the courtroom drama.
Right? Yes. Batman is suing.
Right.
Yeah.
Batman v Superman. Yeah.
And he's looking for some justice.
That's right.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Bruce Wayne going the legal route. Good for him.
The only way he's going to beat Superman.
Well, that's right, because he's got pockets full of money. Right. So good for him. Anyway, Ben Affleck is playing Batman, of course, as we know, a.k.a. Bruce Wayne. But according to this new story that I posted on the Nerd Watch, Ben Affleck was on the set of Suicide Squad. And not only was he on the set, so was his Batmobile, or Batman's Batmobile, and he was in a chase, chasing down his arch nemesis, the one and only Joker in the Suicide Squad film.
The Joker.
Yes, the actual cars have the actual crazy car sequence is actually online now. I posted it. You should check it out on Nerdwatch. It's amazing. Hopefully it's still up for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I made a comment on the Nerdwatch that I think having Batman in a Suicide Squad movie takes away from the Suicide Squad.
Yes.
Here's the thing, and Gannon, thanks to Gannon for mentioning this, Gannon said something very interesting, and I never thought of it. Having Batman in this film makes Batman the villain. And I think that that's an interesting concept. That's something I could get behind. It turns him kind of into the villain because who we're supposed to be rooting for are the Suicide Squad. We're supposed to get to know them. We're supposed to get to like them. They're a squad that does things for good and or evil, as it were. Alika gave us a little bit of a tutorial on the squad, as it were. But Gannon said that maybe it's because Batman becomes the arch nemesis of Joker and the squad. And I thought that's interesting because now we're reversing the roles. And that might work, I guess. Psychologically speaking. Do you think we should have Batman in the Suicide Squad movie?
I'm still wondering if we even want the Batman v Superman movie at this point.
We all want the Batman v Superman movie. All right, movie.
Fine. Okay, come on. Well, we certainly will see it, and I certainly will too. Once again, it just feels like they're overstuffing this, and they're really trying so hard to have that synchronicity that the Marvel films have so easily. I'm with you. It feels like a very commercial decision to put him in there.
Yep.
It feels, they're trying so hard to mimic the Marvel playbook, and I mean, why wouldn't they? It's been so successful. But at the same time, you know, I worry about Batman v Superman. I'm certainly worried about Suicide Squad. It sounds like overstuffed turkeys, both of them.
Yeah, I think it does sound overstuffed. I mean, I believe in David Ayer. I think he can do it.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder, I mean, he did a great job with Watchmen and 300, but he also did Sucker Punch. I don't know if Batman v Superman is going to be good for that. I really don't know. Format, what do you think? Do you think... it was exciting footage that we saw that's on the Nerdwatch right now.
I have a sneaking feeling that it's not really going to be that much in the movie.
You think it's going to be one of those throwaways?
It's going to be like the beginning of the movie is going to be Batman busting the Joker and Harley.
Okay.
Putting them into the penitentiary. Mm-hmm. And then that's the last we see of Batman. Harley gets picked up by the Suicide Squad. Movie starts.
Oh, I can see that. All right, yeah.
I don't really see Batman being that big a figure in the movie.
True,
really.
Good point.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping for.
That makes sense.
Because if Bats is in the entire movie, then I'm out. I give up already.
I mean, we've got Harley Quinn in this movie. Killer Croc is in this movie. I posted a picture of what he looks like in the film. Deadshot, Boomerang is in it. And Amanda Waller is in it. It's quite a big cast, and David Ayer he's got a mighty, mighty big film to fill. So let's hope it's worth it. Let's put it this way. Here's how I think. I think the Suicide Squad. Here's my nagging suspicion. Suicide Squad was jumped on because of the failure of Amazing Spider-Man 2 and the Sinister Six movie that was supposed to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that they jumped on the Suicide Squad to do it because of the failure of Amazing Spider-Man 2. Hmm. So I think this was their opening to get it financed, is what it was. And I think that this is what they were doing. And it coincidentally, it lined up with Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. I hope it's good. I'm a DC fan. I like DC comics. For me, the majority of the iconic... the iconic heroes that I relate to are all DC, from the Flash to the Green Lantern to Superman to Batman. Those are the ones that I really, as a kid, I related to those ones the most. I didn't find Marvel till later on in my life, isn't that weird? I think the only Marvel one that I read when I was a kid, and because my father used to bring it home. And the comic book rack when he used to come home, when he stopped off at 7-Eleven to get whatever the heck he was getting it, whatever, because he used to work late. He brought me home like Power Man, which in turn would turn into Luke Cage.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, yes. I'd bring home Power Man comics. He used to read Power Man, you know. So that was the only time. But so for me, the iconic ones were always the DC universe. So I have an affinity for it. So I'm really hoping that this movie is good. I hope all the movies are good, and I hope that this really works out. And by the way, Aquaman was when I was a kid, that was my favorite superhero when I was a kid. Then it was not cool to like Aquaman, and then I faked like I hated him. That was, you know, well,
traitor.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always liked the
Flash.
So
what do you say to Jason Momoa when you meet him?
I
can you even look him in the eye?
Thanks for screwing up my childhood, Mr. Momoa. No, because...
Why don't you go talk to some fish?
Yeah, why don't you go talk to some fish? Yeah. You know why? Because when I was growing up, Aquaman never looked like Jason Momoa. Right. Never did.
But he could have.
I think my favorite...
no one ever saw him that way.
I think my favorite Aquaman came in later in life when Aquaman became a little more sadistic and a little more... he was a little more angry.
When he lost the arm?
When he lost the arm.
Yeah, that's interesting because otherwise the character, to me, he's always looked kind of like Anthony Michael Hall. Like there's something very unthreatening about him, you know?
Yeah, when he...
Then he let his hair grow out. Right. And
he let his beard grow out. Right, he almost looked like King Neptune. Exactly. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he took no prisoners.
I mean, him and Flounder just... Oh.
And he took no guff. Talk about under the sea. Little Mermaid would have been sushi at that point. Right? I'm telling you right now, that was... Those were awesome comics. Oh my gosh, I remember those. Those were awesome. I remember the cover succinctly, the one cover where all you see is that really wicked-looking hook on the front cover that's brass or gold, and all you see is the hook, and then you can see his uniform. Oh man, that was such an awesome comic. Anyway, moving on.
I like these moments.
Getting back. No, you like those?
Yeah, when we get to nerd out about stuff.
Nerd about Aquaman.
Listen, I admitted my love for Aquaman, and now I am not afraid to say that I love him. I love Aquaman. Always have.
It's good of you to come out of the
come out of the tide pool, right?
That's cool. I mean, last week was all about, you know, my intense love for Joe Beth Williams. So you're up next week. So
yeah. Oh, I got to think of something.
Yeah, you got to think of something that you love that you're afraid to
bring
talk
it to
about.
The table. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of nothing.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, the final piece of movie news I want to bring up is this. We got a lot of hits on the Nerdwatch about it. I posted a article that had to deal with the one and only Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I got into a little
No holds barred too.
Yeah. Oh, boy,
that'd be so great.
Yeah, I wish.
I'm on board for that right now.
I wish. Hulk Hogan.
Zeus.
The turn of Rip.
There was an argument that I had on another on a video podcast that I do for Maui Watch. We got into a video argument about who the best wrestler in the world was. I said that I thought that Bruno Sammartino and Ric Flair were the best wrestlers of all time. I was put to shame by a gentleman who's a lawyer that is a friend of the Nerd Watch and Maui Watch, and he happens to be a comic book geek. I mean, literally, this guy can run circles around me. This guy is insane. He's a Marvel fan till he dies. And he's also a wrestling fan. He says, without a doubt, he says that Hulk Hogan is the best wrestler ever.
I agree.
And I say, hoo-ah! I spit on your yeah, I did.
Did you just take a bump or something?
I spit at your choice at who you think the greatest wrestler was. And he sent me straight. He said, you know, Hulk Hogan is the only guy in the wrestling business that not only did he hold up one company, but he held up two wrestling companies. He was one of the best faces ever, and he was also one of the best heels ever. And I never looked at it that way. Hulk Hogan, he even readily admits that he's not the greatest wrestler in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to put on a persona that people loved, heel or face, whichever. But he held up two wrestling companies, and there were other arguments brought to the table. And I think he's right. I think he's right. Hulk Hogan is probably the best wrestler or the best superstar ever to be in wrestling. Yeah. So I'll give him that. Now, that makes him special because his first film role. I want to ask you about that, but that's going to be a whole other show altogether. I know. If we let this can of worms out, I'm telling you.
I'm fine with Hogan being the best wrestler. Just like Larry Zbyszko giving the best speeches.
Yeah. Listen, that's I don't want to let the vitamins out of the vitamin bottle with this, all right? But I will say this. Hulk Hogan, of course, his first iconic film role was with Sylvester Stallone as Thunderlips, the ultimate male, by the way,
yeah.
In Rocky III. The best Rocky ever, by the way. we had a big argument about this, me and Frisbury did. But then he rubs 24-inch pythons with guys like Sylvester Stallone. Well, Hulk Hogan has been training. Because the rumor mill goes, Hulk Hogan will possibly be facing John Cena at WrestleMania 32 at the Texas Stadium in Texas as of next year. Well, he let slip, most of you won't see that I'm doing air quotes, he let slip that Sylvester Stallone is currently in the works writing Expendables 4, and that he is going to play... Or he's writing him as the villain in the new Expendables 4 film.
Yep, Thunderlips is back.
Thunderlips, the ultimate villain.
And now he's
villain.
Toting a machine gun?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, crazy, right?
I wonder if he'll still have the cape.
Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, I wanted to get your take before we get out of here. I wanted to get your take on what you think of Hulk Hogan being in the Expendables as a villain. Do you think it works? Do you think we should have Hulk Hogan in the Expendables film?
No? I think Stallone can write Expendables 4 to his heart's content. It doesn't feel like it's going to happen. Honestly, if you're going to take an iconic wrestler and make him a villain, I say go with the one who is a tried and true actor. And
which is
Dwayne Johnson.
Wow. Well, Dwayne Johnson, you know, he's...
He doesn't need the Expendables.
No. Even if he wanted to do it, which I think he would, he's very high price at this point in his
career.
Sure.
That's a good point. That may cover, like, the whole budget for the film. But no,
exactly.
I can't see that working without it being campy. And the Expendables has certainly gotten campy, but no, I can't see it working. And they can't do a fourth one because the third one, it flopped, frankly.
Yeah, unfortunately, the third one did flop because of the whole it being leaked, the screener being leaked and things like
right.
that. I think the third one is much better than the second one. I love every single Expendables film. I think that they're a lot of fun. It's stuff you just turn your brain off and have a good time with. So I enjoy them, and I really can't wait to see another one. I want to see another one. I'm very excited to see another one. We got Mel Gibson as a villain in the third one, which was great. So I'm willing to take Sylvester Stallone's word that he can write a proper character for Hogan and make it work in Expendables 4. I'm going with that.
Okay.
For Matt, what about you? You think Hogan could be or should be the villain?
If it happens, then I don't see why not.
All right.
I'm not excited that there's going to be a new one, but... If there will be a new one, then so be it. Anyone can be in it. Sure.
All right.
Why not?
I can tell. I notice your sarcasm. Don't worry. It's not going unnoticed. So I just want to make sure they got that. So, yes, you're okay with it.
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. Oh. And you're great with it?
Can he pull off the villain role?
You're not okay with it.
No, three Expendables is enough. It's enough.
Stop it. I think we could do a couple more.
I would rather see Escape Plan 2.
I love Escape Plan.
Though that movie doesn't really even need a sequel, but...
It doesn't.
No. Yeah. I don't think...
Didn't you say the same thing, though, at Fast and Furious? Like, three Fast and Furious is enough. And then
four.
And it progressively
awesome.
Got... Right? And it progressively got better with...
Who knows? Expendables
movie.
4 might be, like, the best ever.
Mm. That's true. Good point. I like
so
your
Expendables 3 is like Tokyo Drift.
There you go.
I like your optimism, sir.
You know?
Love your
optimism.
I
don't understand why there's not more Asians.
in The Expendables?
Yeah.
In general.
You know what is funny, though? You know, you mentioned that. It feels like Asian... Jet Li was in the first one of The Expendables, right?
Right,
and then he made a cameo in Expendables 2.
Right.
And then a cameo in Expendables 3.
So, yeah.
What is with that? That is weird. I never thought about that, but that's true. Does he have something else on his schedule?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, you know, going with the whole, you know, makeup of the Expendables movies.
Sure.
With action film stars from that era. How about Chow Yun-Fat?
How about Shou Kasuji?
Right?
Oh, Shou Kasuji.
Exactly,
would be awesome.
Right?
I'm down with Chow Yun-Fat, by the way. Oh,
wouldn't
my
that be
gosh.
Dope?
That would be the dopest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nothing. So
Chow Yun-Fat, my favorite John Woo movie to this day is still Hard Boiled.
Yeah.
Everybody loves The Killer. I'm a Hard Boiled fan.
Hard Boiled's amazing.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Hard Boiled is awesome. I wish somebody would remaster that film and put it on Blu-ray. Hint, hint. Please. For the love that all of this Blu-ray, do that for us. Anyway, moving on. Hulk Hogan. No.
No.
Yes. Yes. All right. 2-1. Anyway.
That settles that.
That settles that.
I guess they're making the movie now.
Thanks, Nerdwatch.
Yeah. Finally, I want to let you guys know there's a couple of things coming out on Blu-ray and VOD that you may want to take a look at. First off is a film that both Format and Professor Barry saw. Project Almanac is now currently on video on demand.
But you're going to say a Big Lebowski.
Negative. according to both of them, you can skip it.
Yes.
Kingsman, The Secret Service is out. I have never seen it. Professor Barry says you can skip it.
I'm not a fan, but everyone else loves it, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember Digit going off about
it. Yeah, that's your typical, nose up in the air critic here, Professor Barry.
Yeah,
right.
That's
right.
Him and his silent films.
I'm keeping it real, man.
Him and his silent films. I love it.
You can watch your Expendables. I'm going to watch some Chaplin.
That's
now.
Right. I'm gonna watch some Intolerance or
Intolerance.
Remember that?
I've seen Intolerance.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure you saw Intolerance. It's a silent film, by the way, just to let you know. Also on
great freaking movie.
Yeah, it is. Want to let you guys know that also on VOD is Focus, starring Will Smith. I think I may have mentioned that last week. Mm. The Duff is on
already
on VOD, and
wow.
So is SpongeBob. The SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water.
Yeah,
that's on VOD as well. So I want to check that out. Now, currently on Hard Media, Blu-ray, want to let you guys know the Seventh Son finally hit Blu-ray, the one starring Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore.
I want to see that.
I'm interested. Also, The Loft is on Blu-ray. That movie came and went so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
That
wow.
was super fast.
Yeah.
And there's only a couple more of note that I want to mention. First off, Yellowbeard. One of the worst movies I've ever seen, but I ironically like watching
Isn't
it.
Is David Bowie in that one?
Yeah, Yellowbeard is the one with Chapman.
Marty Feldman.
Marty Feldman. Cheech and Chong is in it. Not a good movie, though. There is a movie that is good that's on Blu-ray today called Eric the Viking.
Oh, wow.
Starring Tim Robbins. I don't know if it's the director's cut or the producer's cut. Terry Jones directed it. Terry Jones' son got a hold of it and did a producer's cut of it. Wow. And trimmed it down to like 83 minutes. Although I do like the longer version better. Tim Robbins is in it.
John Cleese is in it.
Mickey Rooney is in it, absolutely. Terry Jones is in it, obviously. So I like that movie. Do you?
I saw it so many years ago. There's very little about it I clearly remember. I remember thinking it was really amusing and funny when I was a kid, but it hasn't stayed with me.
Yeah, and that's on Hard Media. And finally, the one that I forgot to mention that is on VOD as of this week is Chappie.
Oh.
Yeah, I believe. Is it Chappie that's on VOD? I think it is. But Chappie, the film that you didn't like.
I did not like Chappie, no.
Not like Chappie at all. Can I say that I'm more than halfway through it? I'm an hour into it. I got to watch the rest of it. I had to turn it off because I had to leave the house. I'll give you my report.
Okay.
I'll give you my report later on that. Oh, and finally, just to let you guys know on Hard Media today, if any of you guys are Ninja fans, we get Enter the Ninja and Revenge of the Ninja on Blu-ray, if you
nice.
Can believe it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Is that double feature? Or
no, it's two separate discs.
Any extras?
Yeah. According to this, I don't see any extras, but listen, it's in your library. It's Enter the Dragon. It's It's white guys wanting to be Japanese ninjas. Come on.
Were you a fan of Ninja 3, The Domination?
Heck yeah, the one where she's possessed by the ninja? Yeah. That one is awesome.
Insane.
I cannot wait for that. Are you a fan of the ninja movies? Format?
Yeah, American Ninja.
Well, American Ninja. Michael Dudikoff. Enter the Ninja was crazy.
No, yeah.
I thought Enter the Ninja was crazy because it was pretty violent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For in the 80s. That was pretty crazy. I like Enter the Ninja. And, of course, the other offering, Revenge of the Ninja, that I think that's in the same series, isn't it?
It is.
That's from the 80s as well. Mm-hmm. That's when ninjas were huge.
Yeah.
Man, everybody. Shokuzuki's in that one.
Yep.
So, man, that brings back a lot of memories. I cannot wait. I think Ninja 3 The Domination is on Blu-ray, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Scream Factory put it out.
Yeah, Scream Factory did put it out. That is an awesome, awesome one. And she's a... And that's the girl from...
Breakin'. Yeah, Lucinda Dickey.
Breakin', Lucinda Dickey. That is her name, isn't it?
Or is it Lucinda Jenny?
No, I think it's Dickey.
Is it Dickey?
It's Dickey.
Okay.
It's Lucinda Dickey.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever it was then... It's Lucinda Dickey now.
Right. So, yeah. So talk about nerd. That's definitely nerd.
Good stuff.
Anyway, folks, you know what? I think it's time for us to wrap up and get out of here for the week. You are going to be watching San Andreas, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see Aloha, but I will see San Andreas. I'll see them both.
Aloha is coming out as well.
Yep.
Controversy surrounding that. We got a little... passionate, you know how I get passionate about politics and all this other stuff. That's just me. It's just, you know, sorry if I offend anybody, but I just get all crazy about stuff. I, you know, my passion seems to just spew forth out of my mouth, but whatever. Anyway, those are coming out. You're going to be watching them. We're going to get reviews on them, I take it.
Yeah.
Format, what are you doing this week? This coming week?
Not much. I may be watching Dungeons and Dragons, the animated series.
Such a good show.
Because I see it up here.
Was it really? I never had a time.
It's dark. It's really dark. A lot of edge, a lot of color. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot of fun.
I know, it's so funny looking at the collection here at Mayan Comic Books and the collectibles, and that cartoon being juxtaposed against all John Waters movies is really weird.
It's pretty amazing.
And it's crazy, right? It's crazy awesome.
Oh, yeah. Alika, do you remember the episode of D&D where the kids would get pulled under their bed and like brought to a magical world? Do you remember that episode of D&D?
Yeah, yeah.
That always scared the heck out of me when I was a kid.
Well, just how panicked the unicorn would get. It sounded like a crying baby. Nah,
Yeah, man. Speaking of Alika, I want to send a big shout out to our good friends at My Comics and Collectibles, the home of the Nerdwatch podcast. We really want to thank him for opening up his shop to us to do the show.
Especially since he's sick today. Damn. Probably wanting us out of here already.
I know. I'm sorry. I want to let everybody know, by the way, that every Wednesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles is New Comic Book Wednesdays. Alika has a brand new selection every Wednesday of new comics from all publishers, I'm assuming, or the majority of publishers that you can take a look at. He also has the latest from even independent publishers, say like IDW and such. Is there anything that you're reading now? You said you were reading The Fly the last time.
The Fly Outbreak is fantastic. I'm loving Big Trouble in Little China. I actually gave The Gem and the Holograms comic a look, and I got to say, very impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
Interesting. So check it out, My Comics and Collectibles. By the way, they're also going to be doing, I'm assuming, they're going to be doing more video game contests, classic video game contests,
yep,
here at the store as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So check them out, My Comics and Collectibles. Every Wednesday, heck, man, even if you can't make it for New Comic Book Wednesdays, come down, take a look. It's one of these places where you can get lost just looking at a lot of the things that you reminisce about. And what makes, you know, this is where, it's hard to say this, you know, without getting all emotional about it, but this is where our love for what you youngins see on the big screen, this is where our love for those things started.
Yeah.
And this is where some people don't realize that this is where we would find solace in these books. And we didn't have big screen movies to take care of that. This is where we found it. And this is where Hollywood is now. It took them over 20 years to get here taking what we considered sacred serious. And I'm glad that they are. But this is where it all started. And if you really want to know what it's like, come on down. Take a look. Open a book. Open a comic. There is something that, it's just like opening a book for me. You know, it's hard to read something on a tablet. There's something just so...
Sorry, that just
It's right. Isn't it crazy?
Opening a comic book is just like opening up a book.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, like, I mean, like opening up a novel.
Yeah.
It's just there's just something that you miss when you're opening up open up an app on an iPad.
Yes.
When you hold a comic in your hand and you smell the book,
yeah.
And then you read the pages and the love that goes into the art,
right.
And the story, you really get a better understanding of where these guys come from and why sometimes even fanboys can get a little outraged when their favorite books aren't done properly or with some due respect, as it were. You know, fanboys can get a little crazy, but in all honesty, this is where it started for us. So for that, just having Maui Comics and Collectibles here is absolutely a wonderful thing. You know, parents, bring your kids down here. Let them take a look. Have them open a book. It's amazing stuff. So check them out, Maui Comics and Collectibles. So big shout out to them. Thank you so much. Every Wednesday, Comic Book Wednesdays. Here at Maui Comics and Collectibles, and big thank you to Alika for opening up his shop to us. Plus, on top of that, there's a very huge Ninja Turtle in here that is awesome, by the way, and a Captain America shield, which is awesome. I gotta get one of those, by the way. I really, really want one. I wonder if anybody's moved that Thor hammer at all.
I doubt it.
Doubt it? All
right. Yeah. Is that a He-Man shield?
It is.
Yeah, it is a He-Man shield. I used to have one of those, dude. I used to have one of those back in the day.
Crazy cool.
Crazy stuff. Anyway, folks, we're out of time. I, of course, am G Money, Professor Barry Format. Thanks, guys, so much. Thank you to Alika as well. I want to say we'll be back next week. We're going to be doing more commentaries. We're going to be talking about more news. We're going to be talking about more reviews. I'm going to give you an update on The Witcher. I'm going to try and get more gaming in.
Yeah.
More reviews that we're going to be putting up. Professor Barry is more consistent with that than some of us. Format.
What? You haven't dropped a review in like months.
It's been a month. It's been a while. I have it all backlogged, and I'm very, very sorry. I'm getting to that. There's just so much stuff on my plate, from games to movies to comics. It's out of hand. It's hard to focus. It's like I have nerd ADD. So, you know, I need help.
Is that severe? Is that like conjunctivitis?
Yeah, definitely right? Not as contagious. Definitely not as contagious.
It's like gingivitis of the eyes,
that's
right?
That's right. Yeah. Exactly what it is.
Gross.
So we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. We'll see you back here. Same nerd time, same nerd channel, same wonderful location here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. So until then, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. For Professor Barry, Format, and of course, me, G Money, we say to you the most controversial word in the Hawaiian vernacular as we speak. Ladies and gentlemen, aloha!
Rated PG-13, opening Friday at the Zipwa.
Games, games, games!
Thanks, it's really great.